Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6 is a favorite of many, especially progressive Christians that share in this announcing of a prophetic call that the revelation of God is always pointing in the direction of communal well-being for everyone, especially the powerless. But to simply quote these verses is to eat the produce without the work of tilling the soil or planting or weeding or harvesting. And I don't know about you, but when you eat something that you have grown, you appreciate it a lot more. And so the impact of Micah 6 is working against a corrupt society, a people, a nation too comfortable with the suffering of others. And God has had enough. Let me read to you an excerpt from chapter 2 from the Message translation. Doomed to those who plot evil, who go to bed dreaming up crimes. As soon as it's morning, they're off, full of energy, doing what they've planned. They covet fields and grab them. They find homes and take them. They bully the neighbor and his family. See people only for what they can get out of them. God has had enough. God says, I have some plans of my own, disaster. Because of this interbreeding evil, your necks are on the line. You're not walking away from this. It's doomsday for you. Mocking ballads will be sung of you, and you yourselves will sing the blues, singing, our lives are ruined, our homes and lands auctioned off. They take everything, leave us nothing. All is sold to the highest bidder. And there will be no one to stand up for you, no one to speak for you before God and God's jury. You rob unsuspecting people out for an evening stroll. You take their coats off their backs like soldiers who plunder the defenseless. You drive the women of my people out of their ample homes. You make victims of the children and leave them vulnerable to violence and vice. Leave the church, the lot of you. You can't take it easy in here. You've polluted this place, and now you're polluted, ruined. If someone showed up with a good smile and glib tongue and told lies from morning to night, a preacher that told you how to get anything you want from God, more money, the best wines, you name it, you would hire them on the spot as your preacher. Listen, leaders of Jacob, leaders of Israel, leaders of America, leaders of the church, don't you know anything about justice? Haters of good, lovers of evil, isn't justice in your job description? And yet you are here destroying my people. Isn't justice in your job description? I realize that's a lot to take. Sunday morning. And in Micah's brief State of the Nation address, things have gone from bad to worse for God's people. The leaders, the ones responsible for executing God's justice and tending to God's flock, are the very ones perpetuating and benefiting from the suffering of others. Through well-thought-out business schemes, they exploit property values, increasing their wealth and power at the expense of creating homelessness, desperation, and insecurity among the most vulnerable. And whether the victims are children means no difference to them, so as long as they get what they want, And no one, especially God, challenges their actions or connects their greed to the suffering of others. God knows that such a nation needs a prophetic intervention. Someone or some people to stand in the midst of despair and hopelessness and walk carefully in God's ways of spreading love and justice. Although that is easier said than done, it is difficult not to fall in despair ourselves. We all face our individual mountains, but also the challenges that face others in our community. Theologian Rob Bell describes despair as the belief that tomorrow will be just like today. It is being trapped in a thinking that nothing we do can change the outcome. And there are times where we feel we can't do anything or make any change. Our November Sunday school class, as we've been talking about, has been watching the documentary Mission Joy, Finding Happiness in Troubled Times, which features a dialogue between the Dalai Lama and the late South African human rights leader, Reverend Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And there's this scene where both of them are laughing. Well, there are many scenes where they're both laughing. But this scene ends with Desmond Tutu asking the Dalai Lama a very serious question. He asks, "You have been exiled from a country you love more than anything else for 56 years. Why are you not remorse, deep in despair?" The Dalai Lama pauses and smiles and responded that being a refugee had changed his outlook, that he saw a new opportunity to a new way to view what is important in life. And so what was painful was an invitation to learn and grow and to use it for good and to spread compassion and love. And the source of happiness and what leads to a meaningful life, according to the Dalai Lama, comes from within and spreads to helping others. And then the two men laugh again, as they do throughout most of it. And Desmond Tutu affirms how Jesus, too, transformed the inner life of those he met so that others could spread Christ's love, the kingdom of God. But the two global spiritual leaders did not want to just have us take their word for it, but they really wanted science to weigh in on what they were talking about. And so they go to a professor, Dr. Sonia, from University in California, Riverside, who studies happiness. And in her research of strategies, happiness strategies, she found that people who did acts of kindness for others stay happy for another 2 to 3 weeks after the trial, while those that did acts of kindness for themselves felt good while they were doing that, but did not change them at all. And then by studying the blood of those that did acts of kindness for others, they found evidence that their RNA gene expression changed, that their RNA gene expression became more associated with a healthier immune profile. And so doing acts of kindness not only made others happier, not only made them happier, but they were healthier, they were more centered, they were more physically fit and wanted to meet new people and make more friends. And so we come back to the words of Micah in chapter 6. As the leaders of Jacob and the leaders of Israel and religious leaders, as they're entering the house of the Lord, the sanctuary, and the prophet confronts them with all these difficult consequences of just making themselves happy and effect on others, the prophet asks them this question: "What does the Lord require of you?" And they will ask, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil?" which is not likely, considering probably how they got those resources to begin with. But it turns out God does not care about their stuff or anything that they could have given. God does not care about the worth or the value of the oil and the rams if you were to sell them. God does not care about what they put in the offering plate. And church, I say this on Stewardship Sunday. God does not even require you to give money to the church. O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? To act. Do something that helps to establish real and lasting equality for all, especially the powerless, the ones without rights or security. And what God calls us to is much deeper than writing a check, but it is nothing less than transforming a world that reflects God's steadfast love. And in transforming those around us, we are transformed. Not only our RNA gene expression, but our despair and hopelessness is transformed into a new way and new life in God. This is church at its best. Community creating community. Stewardship is actually not about money at all. It is about caring for God's creation. It is about being a voice of hope when hopelessness seems to grip us and tries to keep us from doing or acting. It is about the abundance of God's grace, that God has provided enough of what we need to feed and clothe and shelter and heal. It is about security and dignity, affirming the humanity of others that often have to live in fear. Stewardship is tending to the ministries of the church so that we are able to do all these things and grow closer to God and to one another. And throughout the stewardship campaign, you have heard how Grace United Church of Christ chooses to walk with God. Some found a loving faith family open to growing together and carrying one another's burdens when they become too much. Others found a way to give food, birthday supplies, or donate money to local organizations better equipped to meet the needs of others in town. Some have affirmed that just by living our faith publicly, that no matter your gender, identity, or sexual orientation, or socioeconomic status, or your mental health or physical health, you are seen, affirmed, loved, and welcomed. By living our faith publicly, challenging dangerous theology that divides more than it unites, we are a small yet bright light for some in the community. These are ministries of justice. These are the ministries of Christ. Our pledge cards and the offerings that we give are not what God requires, but they make possible the acts of kindness and the doing of justice that is required to co-create God's kingdom where everybody has what they need. And so there may come a day when our ministry here can't afford this beautiful building. But even if that day does come, even then in faith, we will know the Lord does not require it. The Lord requires us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk attentively with God. Amen. Amen.